Well, I realize that the easy thing for all of us to do would be to end on this high note, to start our meeting, and then we can get to the food as quickly as possible. But the focus of God's people gathering together has always been, the center of it has always been the reading and teaching of His Word. And we want to stay faithful to that practice. We believe that the fruit that we are able to celebrate today comes from the time that we spend in God's Word as His Spirit works through His Word to change us. And so we want to be faithful to this practice on Sunday. So therefore, I want to read a short section from the book of Colossians. I want to study it briefly, but very thoroughly, and then apply it for us this morning. And so if you'll turn with me to Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 7, I'll read it for us this morning, and then we'll start our study of it. If you've never been in the book of Colossians before and didn't happen to bring a Bible with you this morning, that's more than okay. We should have a Bible in the chair in front of you or a chair in front of your neighbor, and we encourage you to grab one and to follow along with us. If you happen to grab the small print version, we're going to be on page 984. If you grab a large print version, we'll be on page 1169. Once again, we're going to be in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 7. I'll give you some time to turn to that, and then once again, I'll read it for us this morning. Verse 6, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. The word of the Lord. Well, normally, I'm not a huge fan of reading a passage in multiple translations to try and figure out what it means. However, in order to better understand this particular passage, I believe it would be helpful for us to read the passage in the NASB translation, as it brings out the verb tense that we see in the original language a bit better. And so look with me up at the screen, and the underlined parts are the parts that this translation has brought out in terms of the tense of some of these verbs. And so Paul writes, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. So we see the tense difference between the phrases firmly rooted and built up. One has more to do with the past, and the other has more to do with the present and this ongoing future of being built up in Him. And we'll see why that's important in a little bit. But first, the foundation of this passage. If you've ever read Paul much, he wrote much of the New Testament, you know that Paul is the king of the run-on sentence. He will have a main statement that he's trying to make, and then another comma, and then another qualifier, and then a comma, and then another qualifier, and then a comma, and another qualifier, and it just goes on and on and on and on. And when you're out of breath, then he finally sticks the period in there so you can breathe and pause and move on to the next statement. And so this passage is like that. It's one long sentence, and everything kind of builds on another thing, except for the main statement, which is, that the audience has received Christ Jesus the Lord. And we see more clearly in ASB that this is not their work, but the work of God who has delivered them from sin, who has rooted them in Christ. And so we see our first point this morning, which is the good news of the gospel, that God has saved Christians from sin and death through Jesus. Once again, God has saved Christians from sin and death through Jesus. And that's good news for all of us this morning. I know some of us, we may come here on a Sunday and see the gospel in different forms over and over and over and just say, man, like, that's the same gospel message that we covered last week and the week before and the week before that. But if we're going to be a church that is living in light of the gospel, then we have to know what we're living in light of. We have to be reminded of it each week, because each week we leave here and we forget the gospel. We forget the good news. We forget what God has done for us. And we choose our own way. We live the way we want to live. And so it's helpful for us to be reminded of it each and every week, and understanding that everything in Scripture flows from this. For those gathered here who wouldn't call themselves Christians, this is good news for you. Whether you realize it or not, your sin, your disobedience to God has separated you from Him. When you lie, when you swear, when you hurt or harm others, when you gossip, when you hold grudges, when you cheat on tests, when you brag about yourself, all of these things are forms of disobedience against God. And God says that these sins keep you from having a relationship with Him. They put a barrier between you and God that you cannot break down. They put a chasm between you and God that you cannot bridge. But what we see in Scripture is that God loves you so much that He determined to break down that wall for you. He determined to bridge that chasm for you. He sent His own Son, Jesus, to do that, to live a perfect life on your behalf, to die on the cross to pay for your sins. And God says that if you trust in the work of Jesus for salvation, not only will your sins be removed, but you can now have a relationship with God for all of eternity. That's good news for you. And it's good news for us here who are Christians already. It's a reminder that when we begin to question our identity in this life, when we begin to question our worth, when we begin to question our security, when we begin to question our goodness, when we see our sins and we begin to question, am I worthy of salvation? We're reminded that these things are not based on our works, that our identity, that our worth, that our security and goodness are now rooted in Christ's unchanging and unconquerable grace. Our hope is not grounded in our goodness, but in Jesus' goodness. Our hope is not in our works, but in His works. And so when the enemy speaks lies to us, saying, you don't measure up, you're not good enough, we can respond confidently that God has saved us in Jesus. We have been and forever will be rooted in Christ. As we continue to study this passage, we see that Paul starts adding these implications of the gospel, that there's all these additional statements that are added to this foundational statement that these people have received Christ Jesus as Lord. And we see that because God has saved us, because He has rooted us in Christ, we should continue to walk or grow in Him. Which then brings us to our second point, or what we need to believe in response to the gospel. That because God has saved us, we are to continue to grow in Christ. Once again, because God has saved us, we are to continue to grow in Christ. Now, as you write that down or as you memorize that this morning, I want to note a few key things from how Paul writes this. First, this growing in Christ that Paul is talking about is not a religious obligation that we unwillingly fill. I think many of us have grown up with this religious works approach to our relationship with Jesus, so that so long as we do the things that God wants us to do, that He will be pleased with us. But the gospel flips that around and says, because God is pleased with us, we should willingly want to do good things for Him. For our kids today, how many of you have ever had your parents ask you to do something, and then you respond with, oh, do I have to? And when your parents say, yes you do, then you kind of trudge off, oh, all right. Or how many of you as adults or teens have had a boss or someone else in your life, maybe a teacher, ask you to do something? And you've responded with, oh, do I have to? Or maybe you've learned the game and you just say that inwardly when you kind of put the smile on your face and be like, okay, I'll do it, but I really don't want to. And then when we find out that we really do have to do it, we say, oh, all right. That's not the type of obedience that Paul is talking about in this passage. That's not the attitude with which we follow Jesus. Out of our great gratitude for God saving us from our sin, from delivering us from death, we are to continue to grow in Christ. It's a privilege and a joy for us to uphold this covenant commitment, for us to be a church that is growing in Christ. It's a joy for us because of what God has done for us. If God didn't do anything for us, we would be on our way to suffering eternal punishment in hell. And yet God has delivered us from that. And out of love for him, we live in obedience to him. We grow in Christ. But notice also that this isn't something that we do by ourselves. We are being built up in Christ. God is doing a work in us by his word through his spirit. Even when you and I are determined at times to tear down his work in us, to be disobedient, to rebel, when the times when we get up and say, I don't want to spend time in your word. I don't want to engage in a group. We're saying, God, I don't want to grow any more in you. God is committed to making us more like Christ. With our two kids, we have a box of Mega Bloks. And for those of you who don't know what Mega Bloks are, they're basically Legos for kids. They're big Legos. And so I would dump out that box, and our kids didn't like really building with blocks. They like tearing towers down of blocks. And so it was always my goal to try and build up this tower as tall as I possibly could, to use all of the Mega Bloks to build this tower. But what would happen with each one of our kids is as I would get so high, they would become frustrated. They would see this tower accumulating or going higher and higher, and they would come over and they would say, no, and they would knock the tower down. And then because I was determined to build this tower, I would start again. And so they would wander off, they would go play with something, and I'd start building the tower back up. And they would come back in the room and they would say, no, and they would knock the tower down. And it was always my goal to finish the tower, to get it to where it needed to be, despite our kids' attempt to knock it down. And the same is true in our relationship with Christ. Despite our best efforts to say, no more, I'm not growing in Christ anymore, God is committed to making us like Jesus. He's committed to growing us like Christ. He's committed to finishing this work in us. This phrase, being established, that we see in this passage is often used in the practice of guaranteeing legal contracts. In other words, God has pledged himself to your growth and my growth in the grace of Jesus. God says, you are mine. And we can say, I am yours. And he will continue to grow us more like Jesus. And so for all of us who have been saved by God, let us continue to grow in him. Letting God continue the work of making us more like Jesus until the day when he will finish that work and make us perfect when Christ returns. Or to put it another way, from this day forward, let us continue to live in light of the gospel by growing in Christ. Finally, Paul says that as we remember that we are rooted in Christ, and as we also remember that God is building us up in him, that our lives should be characterized by gratitude, which then leads us to our final point, or our second response to the gospel. That because God has saved us and is growing us in Christ, he is worthy of our gratitude. Once again, because God has saved us and is growing us in Christ, he is worthy of our gratitude. Church, this is the only response that is appropriate to the great things that God has done for us and is doing through this church. And it's why we've chosen to set aside an entire Sunday service devoted to celebrating the work of God in our church. We have seen today that God has done a great work in a number of our kids and youth to grow them in their understanding of salvation and the Bible as one big story that points to Jesus. We've seen that God has done a great work in a number of our adults to grow them in their understanding of the foundations of the Christian faith. We have seen that God has done a great work in a number of our adults to grow in their ability to make disciples. We have seen that God has done a great work in a number of our teachers and parents to help disciple our kids and youth and adults. We have seen that God has done a great work in a number of our attenders this past year to make the commitment a membership to our church. And we have seen throughout this past year God do a great work in the number of our kids, youth, and adults to trust in Jesus for salvation and be baptized. And I could go on and on and on about the things that we have seen God do in you and in the rest of our church. And I encourage you this week that just take one of the evenings with your family and just to pause and to celebrate God's work in each one of you, to share the things that you have seen God do, the ways that you have seen God grow you in Christ. But for now, let us simply respond in the only way that is appropriate after seeing and hearing these great works. The only way that Paul gives us in this passage. Let us thank him. Let us close this service by showing our gratitude to our great God. Let's do so in prayer, and then as our worship team comes up, let us close in singing our thanks to God for all that he has done to make us more like Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, there are times that we come before you and we're questioning your goodness. We're questioning your goodness in us, and we're questioning your goodness in our church. But Father, as we are so clearly reminded this morning, you are always good. You are always good to us. You're always at work in us to save us and to make us more like Jesus once we are. And we thank you. We thank you for your work in our kids. We thank you for your work in our youth. We thank you for your work in our adults to help us grow in Christ as we seek to be a church that lives in light of the gospel. And Father, we pray that as we are reminded of that over and over today, this week, this next year, that we would continue to respond with thankfulness. We would continue to give you the praise that you alone deserve. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.